Who's Talking on Richmond Sports Radio 910. Diehard Wahoo Frank Maloney and former UVA basketball standout Jim Hobgood break down the Cavaliers each week by bringing you inside the game and behind the scenes with all-star interviews and classic Hobbo humor. Who's Talking is brought to you by Ortho Virginia, Moore's Volvo, LeClaire Ryan, the Virginia Athletics Foundation, CapTech Consulting, TheSaber.com, Hildrup Moving and Storage, Kelleher Heating and Air, Richmond Allergy and Asthma Associates, Zacharias Ganey Health Institute, and La Mer Restaurant. Now, Who's Talking is on Sports Radio 910. Here's Frank and Jim.
Good evening, Wahoos, and welcome, ACC sports fans. This is Frank Maloney with my co-host, Jim Hobgood. The Hoos lost to a good football team on the road Saturday. I think, though, no matter how you slice it, I think it was disappointing. We'll analyze the problems that are plaguing the Cavaliers and try to identify the positives as the Wahoos try to regroup. They're now 2-2 overall record, but they're coming back to Charlottesville. Big home game ahead versus Louisiana Tech this Saturday at 3:30 at Scott Stadium. We will review Saturday's game and then preview the upcoming Louisiana Tech home contest in the show ahead. Anyhow, we're glad that you joined us.
Yes, indeed. This is Jim, otherwise known as Hobbo in certain quarters. We have another really, really good show for you tonight. We have someone who's been on the show before, but a terrific football guy, former UVA linebacker Charles McDaniel. So he'll be a good one to evaluate the defense. And we also have former UVA wide receiver and defensive back Ahmad Hawkins will be joining us in the second half hour. And Dr. Mark Jones from Ortho Virginia will join us for a few minutes to go over the several names on the injury report. As always, there are several ways to follow the show. One thing I would point out, I think we probably mentioned this before, Chris Sill, of course, is our new research analyst. Michael Tusky, his job took him out of town. He's now residing down in New Orleans. That's the reason Michael not with us here for season four. But we're happy to have Chris, and Chris will tell you how to follow the show.
All right, guys, Who's Talking is streaming live on sportsradio910.com and thesaber.com. We encourage everyone to post comments on Facebook. Just go ahead and search Who's Talking and become a fan. All previous shows are archived on thesaber.com, or if you're old school, go ahead and call in 804-345-0910. We encourage fans to download the iHeartRadio app to listen live on their smartphone. Your comments are welcome.
Yeah, the iHeartRadio app is really good if you have reception problems at this hour, which I think is true in certain parts of the metropolitan area. So just download it on your old smartphone, iPad, whatever, and it comes in crystal clear. But anyway, gentlemen, as Frank indicated in the opening, it's been kind of a tough 2 weeks for our beloved Wahoos. I thought they played a little better down at Fort Worth, but still disappointing game. As Frank and I talked to by phone today, a couple of plays that maybe if they make a catch or two, especially early, the Jennings play early, might have made it a little different football game. But nevertheless, you are what you are, and we're 2-2 right now. So they're, and as Frank said, big game this weekend against a good football team. The people have to understand Louisiana Tech's a real deal.
They went to a bowl last year, and they play a high power type of offense. They pretty much throw it and run it all over the field. So,
and speed, you know, apparently.
Virginia has got the athletes, and they've got the speed. The problem is they're having a hard time reading and anticipating, much less reacting.
I think. All right. Yeah, I think we got Charles McDaniel on the phone. Just a man doesn't need a whole lot of introduction, but obviously was a terrific linebacker at Virginia, led the team in tackles 3 years, is still second all-time on the UVA tackle list. So maybe he could go back to Charlottesville and help some of these guys that are missing tackles along the way. But Charles was a terrific player, very much a friend of the program, president of Hildrup Transfer in Fredericksburg. So, Charles, if you're with us, thanks for taking a couple of minutes tonight.
Always a pleasure to spend time with you all. Hope everyone's doing well, and look forward to talking to you about Virginia football.
All right, well, why don't we start by your assessment of the first four games?
Well, I think anyone being realistic knew this was going to be somewhat of a transitional year. While I think last year was certainly a step in the right direction and gave everyone hope and confidence that what Coach London was building is something that's going to be that would be built with a very bright future in mind, and I certainly still believe that. But there are a number of young players. There are still schemes that aren't being executed the way that they need to be. We're 2-2, and truthfully, I think that's about where we belong to be. We have had against good opponents. I think some of the weaknesses have been glaring, have been somewhat problematic. I can't say they're unexpected. I think everyone would have loved us to play better at Georgia Tech. Loved us to play better this past weekend at TCU. But overall, we're in a transitional year. I think that we're headed in the right direction, and we are where we are, as they say.
Charles, this is Frank. Thanks for joining us tonight. I think the thing that seems to puzzle most fans is, what has happened to the tackling in the open field? There's way too much space. It's almost as if the Virginia defense is looking into the backfield or looking at the wrong keys, and players are just out of position. I mean, the safety went underneath the route on the third and long play early in the game and gave up a huge touchdown over the top, and it just sort of blew my mind that would happen to us.
Well, it kind of blew my mind too, and I'm sure the coaches were share that same feeling. We are dealing with a younger group of people on that defense. We knew that. That being said, there are teams that are very successful today that are playing with second-year players, redshirt freshmen or true freshmen, that are playing better than our guys. They need to pick it up. Many of these people are not true freshmen. Most are redshirt freshmen, sophomores, and or juniors. And I think we need to find some true leadership. I think Steve Greer can be a good leader. I see a lack of leadership on both sides of the ball and truly a lack of confidence in executing what they're taught. Coaching has something to do with that. They certainly need to set the stage. They need to have these kids confident and play each play. It's something that Nick Saban at Alabama just does an amazing job with. Is he teaches confidence and he teaches you do everything you can on the play and then you worry about the next play. Don't look back. And I think too often right now I see these guys not playing with the confidence, with the speed that they need to play with. And mistakes are happening. There's entirely too many mistakes, too many big plays, and it's plagued us now for a couple of years. We were fortunate to write that at the end of last year, but we had a lot more experience. And while we can blame some of this on inexperience, kids that have been in the program now for 2 years, they need to be picking it up and need to be picking it up quicker. That is a concern, and ultimately you need to get back. Are these kids as good as potentially build? I put so little emphasis on who's a 4- and 5-star recruit or, some of the best players that ever came out of Virginia, certainly that came out of Virginia Tech, were players that were developed, understood their role, and executed their assignments. That's what it gets down to. Again, 4- and 5-star recruits, the college landscape is littered with those kids that don't make it. I want to see players with attitude and with confidence, and if you have those things, and we have schemes that should work, we should be and hopefully can be better.
Watching the game on Saturday, I was very impressed by the improvement shown by Anthony Harris, one of the safeties. Mm-hmm. I did think that Maurice Canada from Verona played a whale of a game. In fact, he should have had 3 interceptions. One of his interceptions was negated by a penalty on Phelps, who sort of jumped on the back of one of the TCU receivers, even though the ball was 10 feet underthrown, it was another huge play. And then looking at the offensive side of the ball, Charles, Darius Jennings is showing lots of talent to me. And at the same time, Jake McGee obviously some other players are missing in action. I mean, Tim Smith, I think, has some kind of injury. I saw him trying to block downfield quite a bit, and he was trying to contribute. Dominique Terrell has got hands of stone. He should be Roberto Duran on this team. He comes across the middle, and the ball hits him in the hands, and it goes up in the air, and it's a terrible interception at the wrong time of the game. Anyway, just share us some thoughts on that, and then we're going to touch on the quarterback next.
Well, I think Kennedy is a great example of what I'm talking about. He plays fast. He plays with an attitude and a confidence that belies his – I mean, the kid's a freshman. But he has what it takes, and he came with not quite the credentials of some of these other people that you were just describing. He's a type of player that we're going to build the system around. And these other young players need to clearly understand that you're judged by your performance, not about how good you were in high school or how well you've practiced, but when the lights are on, how well you play. I know Phelps wants to play better. He's certainly capable of playing better. I actually played with his father and know he has the DNA to be successful. But he's not playing that way right now. And when you look at a guy like Kennedy and you look at a few others, it was good to see Billy Schultz back. I mean, he came in, and the energy that he displayed in the game, while we didn't have any sacks, which is again problematic for me. We talked about how important it was to get some pressure on the quarterback, and there was some pressure, but at the end of the day, we didn't have that quarterback down as often as we needed to, and he's just too good a quarterback.
I did think that the pass rush was improved in that players were getting to the quarterback, sometimes a little late, but at least they were getting their hands on him, they were bumping him, and they did. I think Kennedy's interception down by the goal line was basically the result of players collapsing the pocket.
Well, and that's the quarterback certainly looked uncomfortable when we had pressure on him, and we had good pressure, but you still need to have some sacks, and we need to scheme a defense that gives us ability not just to put pressure and make them uneasy, but we need them on the ground, because big things happen when that quarterback's on the ground, and we rattled him, and that's good. But we need to ultimately finish that play, and we need to get in. However we do that, there's a number of different ways to do that. But I'm sure Jim Reed is working on completing the play. It was great to see pressure. Hadn't seen that in the first three games to speak of, and we certainly saw that. I mean, there were signs of improvement in this game. I don't think we digressed in this game. I think we improved in this game, and you played a good opponent at their home that they're awful tough to play. But we're going to be playing a lot of people at their house, and I'm sure they're more comfortable there. We have to start dictating what other teams and what other players do instead of always reacting. I think we're a very reactionary team, and again, that gets back to confidence, and it gets back to coaching these kids up.
Charles, we got about a minute or so, maybe 2 minutes before we have to go to break, but we do have Curtis on the line. He's a local caller, and he's got a question about the quarterback situation. Surprise, surprise. Curtis, are you with us?
Yeah.
Go ahead and ask Charles your question.
Yeah, I want to get y'all's thoughts on, obviously, the quarterback situation going on. Offense has been sputtering, and I'd love to see what Sims can do. He's got some great physical talents, so I'd love to get the opinion of Charles, Frank, Jim, and even Chris. I'd love to get the young alumni viewpoint on this.
We'll defer to the expert. We'll let Charles take this hot potato. Go ahead, Charles.
I don't know if I'm the expert on this at all, but I'll give you an opinion that's probably not worth a whole lot. I think we went into this season, we saw what a quarterback controversy or alternating quarterbacks did the first half of the last season. I think that we came into this season with confidence that Michael Rocco is going to be the quarterback and hopefully grow from last year. I don't think that's necessarily happened. I think we have a quarterback controversy, unfortunately. I'm not real big on that. Very few teams have success when you have that type of situation. Michael, for one, just looks like he is lacking the confidence to make the throws that he's certainly capable of making. There were some that were he was let down by receivers, but that's going to happen. I think Sims is certainly a good option. I want them to pick a quarterback, stick with that quarterback, support that quarterback, and then we'll win or lose with that quarterback. There's a reason Phillip Sims got beat out down in Alabama. A.J. McCarron is a good quarterback. I don't think anyone's going to think of him as Joe Namath, though. He is a good quarterback that manages the game. The question is Sims capable, with all the athletic ability, is he capable of understanding, comprehending, and executing the offense that Billy Lazor and Coach London have? It's pretty complicated. It's not an easy offense to pick up, and it's real hard when, you know, none of the coaches could work with him over the summer, and he basically is 6 weeks into understanding this offense. And mop-up duty is one thing, but when you're coming in and you're the man, you've got to perform. It may be time to give him the reins, but whoever is a quarterback, we need to stick with that person until they just prove they can't get the job done. I think Michael Rocco is the quarterback, should be the starting quarterback, and if he doesn't get it done, perhaps this next game, then you need to make a change. And alternating quarterbacks, I'm not a big fan of.
You know, Charles, today Mike London declared that Rocco was his quarterback, but he was very vague in the way he provided, quote, his endorsement of Rocco. And actually, you've touched on something that's kind of bothered me since this summer when Sims, it was even rumored that he was coming to Virginia. It seems to me that the coaching staff unintentionally is undermining their starter. And I agree with you. They need to get behind one of these quarterbacks and go to the dance and dance with that one player. It's, you know, Bear Bryant used to say, that he was going to dance with the girl that brung him to the dance.
Well, the other thing, keep in mind, the quarterback's not the only problem this team has.
That's the biggest issue. Offensive line can't block anybody.
It's the quickest one to fix, though, Frank. Mm-hmm.
It's not the problem. All right, Charles, we're going to go to break. We thank you for joining us. We'd like to bring you back later in the season. Is that possible?
I'm sure it is. I look forward to coming back, and let's hope that we show progress, continue to show progress this week. This is a big game. This is a good football team, and defense is really going to have to step up, and hopefully we'll get some consistency on the offensive side. Continue to run the ball. We'll be okay.
All right, Charles. We'll hope to see you over at Scott Stadium. Charles McDaniel, former star linebacker at Virginia, joining us tonight in our first segment. We're going to go to break. We will be back with the LeClaire Ryan play of the game following these messages.